All right. Hello, ladies. I am here with the amazing Carrie Neeson, and she is a graduate of Stressless Eating. She's been out of the program for probably around 7 months at this point in time, maybe 8 months. But she has so graciously agreed to allow me to pick her brain and answer your questions about her experiences before, during, and after stressless eating, just to give you some insights on what worked for her, what didn't work for her, what, you know, as I'm always sharing with you, like take what resonates and leave the rest and get your sweet spot, get your definitions, get your recipe. And so we're going to just kind of freestyle a little bit. I shared with her a little bit about the questions, but she's just going to just be herself and share. So first of all, thank you, Carrie. Welcome. And thank you so much for just agreeing to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Happy to be here with you, Leanne.
Love it. Love it. So I'm going to dive in with a question that is, in my opinion, like one of the biggest distinctions that I want all of the women that I work with to have. And it's this distinction between the diet or the weight loss mentality versus whatever the new conversation needs to be. And so every single woman that is enrolled in stressless eating, they're very aware that this is not, I blatantly say, like, this is not about getting to your ideal weight in 9 weeks. This is not about weight loss. It's about creating the foundations that will serve you for the rest of your life so that you can continue to not just get to your ideal weight, but stay there and keep it and not have to stress and get rid of the emotion and the obsession and all that. And so I'm curious to know if you would just share with them, what was like, what do you now say about like the diet and weight loss mentality for you? And then what did the conversation have to become in order for you to really embody these philosophies?
For me, the conversation became not about what I could or what I could not eat, but I always went back to how do I want to feel? So when I'm sitting down for a meal or, you know, thinking about, do I want this or that? It's like, how am I going to want to feel? How am I going to want to feel in a half hour? How am I going to want to feel in an hour? How am I going to want to feel tomorrow morning about what I'm putting into my body? So instead of thinking about, you know, I can't have a chocolate bar or I can't have that chocolate chip cookie, I just thought about how I wanted to feel. And I also wanted to be, and I know the word mindful is so overused these days, but for me, it's a real foundation of this whole program and the changes that I have made. So if there's a chocolate chip cookie there and I want it and I decide that I'm okay having that chocolate chip cookie, I'm going to have that.
Yeah.
But when I have that one cookie, I am going to savor every bite, every chocolate chip, every sweetness that that cookie has to offer and enjoy it while I'm doing it.
Absolutely.
And then what I can do now most days is just have that one cookie because I'm mindful about it and I'm thinking about it and I'm savoring the choice that I made and I'm not feeling guilty about that choice.
Absolutely.
And so I don't have to have 16 more cookies.
Right.
Because I'm just real intentional about what it is I choose to eat. And it makes spiritual is a little bit over the top, but it makes it, it just makes the whole experience so much more enjoyable. Because I'm not saying to myself, I can't have anything. I can have anything I want. It's just thinking about that before I make that choice.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And just for those obviously that don't know you and don't know like where you came from, like what did your diet and weight loss mentality, how were you showing up before stressless eating? Like talk to us a little bit about your relationship with food. You told us how it is now, which is beautiful, where you're influencing who you're being and reverse engineering the outcomes that you want without restriction and deprivation and punishment and control and giving yourself permission to actually enjoy the things that you want to enjoy or not to like mindfully choose not to eat it. But for those that are listening, talk to us a little bit about where you were just like at the beginning of the program.
Well, not only the beginning of the program, Leanne, but really my whole life was, I grew up in a family and we were all obese and we used food for comfort. We used food when we were happy, when we were celebrating, we used food when we were sad. So food was really one of the options that I used to numb myself.
Yeah.
If I didn't want to feel, If I just wanted to check out, food was my best friend. And I'm not talking about carrots and celery sticks being my best friend. You know, high sugar, alcohol. It just was kind of, it was my drug of choice.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. And so what do you say about that drug now, like food and alcohol? Like, what is it to you now?
It just, it has no power over me. Wow. It just is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You took back the power.
Yeah. Most days it doesn't talk to me. Mm. You know, I'll open up the fridge and nothing talks to me. I just look and I say, you know what looks good and what does my body want now? So it just, it just has lost all of its power, and that power has shifted to me, and how I want to feel and who I want to be.
Mm. Wow. I love it. I love it. So obviously, you know, that one of the things that we talk about in the Stressless Eating Program is I share like my beliefs around the term healthy and how I think that our definition of healthy is the problem. Like, most people have this definition of healthy as like eat less, move more. And so I think it's in week four, we really just carve out your sweet spot. Like, what would your self-care plan look like, knowing that it's not just physical, it's physical, mental, and social, emotional. So now that you do have your sweet spot kind of self-care ritual going into play, would you mind just sharing, obviously it's so important that we carve out our own, but can you just share kind of an overview of what your sweet spot ended up being, just so they can get an idea of what it might look like for them?
Sure. That's a great, great question. And I will share, before I started this program, I had some severe anxiety issues. Mm. So I would also use food to calm myself. Mm. I was under a physician's care for some medication for anxiety issues.
Yeah.
And so at the cornerstones for me, one was really self-love, learning to love myself as I am.
Yeah.
Even loving that soft little belly that I still have.
Yeah.
And another real cornerstone was meditation. I just thought for so long that it was a bunch of hoo-ha. I thought, you know, meditate, come on, people. We just don't need it. But I read one of the books that you recommended to me was 10% Happier Dan Harris.
Oh yeah.
And that book was a life changer for me. So meditation is really the cornerstone of my day. It's how I start my day. Every time I feel anxiety creeping in, I remember to breathe, and I've got a couple of different exercises that I use. Mm. I make jewelry to help remind me to breathe, and it has, I just don't need my anxiety medication anymore.
Wow, that's huge.
It's just my everything. And then I complement that with my journal writing, some practices that you shared with me about living a life of gratitude. Mm. I've always had a heart full of gratitude, but I think it was hidden somewhere. And that's one part I have just really embraced with this program.
Amazing.
You know, gratitude for my legs that I can walk, gratitude for my lungs that I can breathe. Just taking it down to some real granular levels sometimes.
For sure.
And also, I love the practice that I learned from you about having gratitude in advance for things.
Then
also just the self-affirmations and the bragging on myself. So when I have just one chocolate chip cookie, by gosh, I'm going to write that down in my journal.
Yeah.
Because that was a day when I could have never, ever said that.
Yeah, totally.
And then I think using lotions and just, you know, feeling good about your body. And when I hop in the shower every morning, I'll spend probably like the first couple minutes doing I am statements.
Yeah.
I'll say, I am happy. I am joyous. Mm. You know, I'm so lucky to be able to take a shower this morning. And then I'll even spend some time in the shower having gratitude for things. And again, I just can't, that shifting of the mindset to think your way to success and happiness.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't believe it until I experienced it going through this journey with you. again, I'd read the books and I'd say, oh, come on, you know, but it makes all the difference.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. Well, it's like, you can't, you know, again, like I share with everybody before they even enroll in the program is like, I could give you the stressless eating strategies. I could give you the goggles. I could give you the frameworks around food and eating. But if we don't address the weeds in the garden of your mind that are causing this soil to be like rotten soil versus fertile soil, it won't matter. You'll end up right back where you are. And I actually, would you mind sharing a little bit about, I know there was one word in your inner compass that was like a game changer for you. As soon as you started connecting to it, you started showing up totally differently. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah. And I think it was a couple, but, but reliable was definitely one. Yeah. I also, my dad passed away 3 years ago. And so I had really been struggling. I had lost my way. I hadn't been able to focus. I was doing a lot of self-destructive behaviors and habits.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, not only was I not who I wanted to be, but I hadn't been reliable. I had a coworker once who said to me, oh, Carrie, sometimes it just drives me crazy because everyone likes you. Everyone wants to be with Carrie. And then she said, but if anyone wants anything done, they come to me.
Wow.
And that was such.
Yeah.
I'm
talking about to swallow.
A light bulb, because I wanted to be that reliable person. I don't need to be the fun person. I don't need to be liked, but I want to be that go-to person and I want to be reliable.
Yeah.
And the other one was dependable. I wanted people, I wanted to be that person.
Yeah.
Not only was I letting my coworkers down or my family down or my friends down, I was letting myself down.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that I really aspire to this day is to be a promise keeper. Mm-hmm. When I say I'm going to do something, it's going to be done.
Yeah.
So absolutely. It was, I know you just asked for one word and
sorry. No, I love it. I love it. It's so beautiful. Just to stack on that, like for anybody, I know that week two is always the hardest, like taking yourself through those five ingredients and all the questions that comes with it, you know, but like, it's where we find the holes in your self-image so that we can figure out how to plug the holes. And like, I remember for you specifically, yours was in self-esteem. It was like, shit, I'm making all these promises to myself. I'm not keeping them. And that's with most women. We just lose trust in ourselves because we witness ourselves time and time again, not following through on the promises that we keep to ourselves. And that's why the next diet's no different, or this is no different, or we feel like even when something is different, we don't trust ourselves. And like, again, you wouldn't have been able to find that gold, which was so powerful for you, if you hadn't dug in and do the work. Because just like everybody else, I'm sure there's that voice that goes through, is like, oh my gosh, why do I have to go through all this deep inner work? Like, I just want to get to the good stuff about show me how to eat. You know, I go through it with all my clients. I get it. I get it. But yeah, go ahead.
And for me, Leanne, it also took a second round of going through that exercise, because the first time I wasn't ready to dive in.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what my words were, but they were superficial, and they were like kind of what I thought I wanted.
Yeah,
not
I get it.
What I needed.
Yeah.
So absolutely. With your help, I kept digging until I found what really resonated for me.
That's a powerful distinction, because when you're choosing words that you're like, oh, I think I'm supposed to want to be that, you actually are kind of like actively doubting it, versus when you found the ones that really filled in the blank, that's where the brain, that's an example of like positive and powerful neuroassociations where you can't unsee it. You can't unlearn it. It just feels right.
Yep. Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. So this is a question for one of our members. She asked, I know that if I don't stay immersed in the program, so listening, reviewing program materials, et cetera, almost daily, I find the old thoughts and feelings quickly resurface. Did this happen to you? And do you still experience it 7 months out?
That is a great question.
It's so great.
It was during one of our sessions, because like when I first started, it's like I was like all in, right? Mm-hmm. It's like I woke up and I listened to you. I would take my lunch break and I would listen to you, and I would often fall asleep listening to you. Mm-hmm. And then it's like there was just a day where it's like maybe I only got, you know, listened to you once. And then maybe there was a day when I didn't get any homework done. Wow. So I had, you know, there was a little panic, I guess, that I had, mm-hmm. thinking that once again, I was going to be a failure mm-hmm. and it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
So what I will say is it is about perseverance. It is about not giving up. And it's also about finding the golden nuggets.
Yes.
And only you know what those nuggets are.
Absolutely.
And there is so much information in those first couple of weeks.
For sure.
This can be, well, I think it's overwhelming. I think that's what happened to me, Leanne. I just mm-hmm. kind of,
yeah.
oh my gosh, I just can't do this anymore.
Mm.
And then as the time requirement lessens, I was able to start breathing again and going back and finding those things that did resonate so much with me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great tip, is just really don't worry about getting all of it done and doing it all perfectly. Find the golden nuggets that work for you. And that's the thing. Like, I tell everybody this before I even invite them into the program, is like, are you able to laser focus for 9 weeks? Like, make this number one priority. Because the truth is if you can't, it won't work for you. Like, it's so important that we have so many old pattern repetitions, like tens of thousands of repetitions working against these new repetitions. And so we really have to immerse ourselves, you know, and the first few weeks are intense. It's set up, you know, to be descending intensity, but they are intense. But part of it is just like coming back to the commitment we make on day one, coming back to that line in the sand, and knowing that the best things, they take hard work, you know what I mean? And just really recommitting. But I think that's a really great thing. Like, so for you, if you were going to share a couple of your golden nuggets that really brought you back. Well, so first of all, when you're not like having your best self-care day, or you have a few days where you're like, oh, I'm kind of out of it. What do you do to bring yourself back? How do you feel? What goes through your head, and how do you bring yourself back? Because obviously this is not about perfectionism. This is about, we're in this for the long haul. This is about life mastery. You know, it's not always going to be perfect. So how do you bring yourself back?
And I just had a good example of that over Thanksgiving. And
yeah.
I think the word Thanksgiving is all really, I probably have to say to anyone, and you likely know, you know, where I'm going with this. It's just, it was a Thanksgiving and I wasn't in my environment that I usually have, that I set myself up for success.
Mm-hmm.
So when I open the fridge, I've got a lot of healthier options, and I have, you know, few pies or any of that other nummy stuff around.
Yeah.
And I just tried to make, before I went on my Thanksgiving trip, I decided I was just going to limit myself to alcohol on one day. For me, alcohol triggers a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
But what I hadn't anticipated was kind of the stress that comes along with being around family.
Yeah.
And just like how much food is out, and like 24/7, and it's always on the counter.
Yeah.
And I was dipping into the cookie jar far more than I wanted. So the one thing that I did that was different from, you know, carry pre-program, is I knew what I was doing.
Mm.
And I didn't just mindlessly get in the cookie jar. I said, okay, you're going to have a cookie.
Yeah.
But what I knew is that this was a short period of time
mm-hmm.
when I was going to be in someone else's home in this environment with the setup, that I was going to be able to be home. I was going to be able to get on my meditation mat. I was going to be able to have good, healthy food in the refrigerator, and I was going to be able to get back to me.
Yes.
And yeah. So it's so weird hearing me say that.
I love it.
Because this was the first time that I had really, really been tested away from home.
Yeah.
But I never had that concern that I wasn't going to come back.
Yeah.
I just knew what Monday was going to look like, and it was going to be wonderful. And it was.
Yeah.
And
so what would have normally happened? Would that have just sent you on a spiral for a few weeks? And like this time around, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to get back to my normal rituals? Or what was the difference like between normal Thanksgivings and this past one?
In the past, it would have been like open season for anything I want to put in my mouth
or
drink at the beginning of the holidays. And it just would have been, and so not only that, but then the horrible feeling that comes along with that, the guilt and the bloating, and you can't fit into your clothes anymore.
Yes.
And so it would have just been the beginning of a horrible, horrible month, just for how I felt, regardless of the food that I was eating, just, you know, how it made me feel.
Yeah.
And then I would cross my fingers and hope on January 1st, maybe I wanted to do something about it.
Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't have.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not sure what, and the secret sauce is just so many things, but I just, Leanne, I just couldn't wait to get back to my home on Monday and to just set myself up for success. And the ritualizing of things is so important to me. Not only did I have some food challenges, but I wasn't doing my meditation. I wasn't getting my journaling in. I wasn't doing all those things that make me feel so good and grounded.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so important. You know, we all, like for me, and I could find it for any one of my clients, when I'm out of the zone, when my mojo is shot, I can tell you exactly what is not present in my life.
Yeah.
And I can probably tell you what is present. Also, when I'm feeling on top of the world, I could tell you what my recipe for success is, what I am doing and what I'm not doing. And then again, that becomes data.
Yeah.
It's just data. It doesn't have to be, there doesn't have to be any drama other than like, this is what happened and this is what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to recommit, draw a new line in the sand, and it's just another day. And something else I want to stack on that you mentioned, I want to kind of brag on you for a minute. You mentioned meditation a couple of times, and I know it's such a crucial part of your life right now, but I want to remind you and share with them. I remember, and you can, confirm or deny the details of this. But I'm pretty sure one of your first celebrations on one of our first weekly calls was like, hey, I meditated for 5 minutes a day this week, right? You started with like very much minimums, right?
I did.
Yeah. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Because obviously there's a lot of us come from the old way of thinking of like, oh my gosh, it's like I have to go 0 to 60, or meditation specifically is such a daunting task because I know I had the identity for so long of like, I'm not a good meditator, or I just can't meditate. And you were a perfect example of somebody who had like dabbled in it a little bit, but it wasn't until you just started with minimums and set yourself up for and work towards success versus working towards failure that you were actually able to ritualize that. So can you just talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, and I think when I started, it was like 1 minute.
Yeah, I know. Like, it was so, and I was like, yeah, that's a minimum. I love it.
and that's something that you teach us, right? To always think in minimums, not maximums. So I'm like, well, I suppose I can sit on that stupid mat for a minute.
Right.
And I did. And then for me, what really helped with my self-esteem and reliability and dependability is saying that, I went a whole week and every day, every 7 of those days, I meditated for 1 minute.
Yeah.
And then something really happens in our brain at a very physical level in our gray matter when we meditate. And pretty soon it was 2 minutes. And I don't think it was till a month later I actually worked up to 5 minutes.
Yeah. So that is just a testament to that. Like you can, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, and it's
meditation. If you're sitting here listening to this and you're like, I can't meditate. Carrie is a perfect example of somebody who had the same story and she just met herself where she was for a minute a day.
Yeah. I would not be a year ago, I would not be sitting here talking to you about meditation.
Right.
But it's just, and it is something that everyone can do.
Yeah.
It's not about, quieting your mind to a place where you have no thoughts. It's much different than that.
It's just like the easiest way to start, or the simplest way, is just make it take out the word meditation and make it about breathing. Just breathe.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. And here's the thing. I'll be the first to admit that I don't sit there thought free and monkey mind free when I meditate. It's not about perfectionism. It's about showing up for yourself every day.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's some like Buddhist saying around meditation, or maybe it's not Buddhist. It's maybe somebody that practices meditation said it, because I don't know if it sounds like something Buddha would say, but there's something along the lines of this, like, everybody should meditate for X amount of minutes per day. But if you're too busy to meditate, you should meditate for double the amount of that a day, yeah. you know? And it's so true. Like those of us who are resisting it the most, we need it the most. That's what, at least what I found to be true for myself. So thanks for sharing that and giving people hope that, you know, don't feel like that it's for them.
Absolutely.
Okay. So here there's the next question. I'm going to mention the next question that got sent in, but I'm going to ask you a question before this question. So the next question is, have you lost weight or are you losing weight? But before you answer that, I want you to share with them the experiences that you and I had on the calls, because it happens. It's not every single client of mine, but most of my clients, they forget that this is not about weight loss, and they're so eager to get to the weight loss that they get a little bit frustrated that they're not losing weight right away or that they're not focusing on weight loss right away. And I have to bring them back to the conversation that this really is about. And the truth is that when you were focusing on weight loss, you weren't getting weight loss anyways, and it was causing you to be unhappy and unhealthy and all that. So before you talk to us about your actual weight loss journey, talk to us a little bit about that journey of like switching the mindset from weight loss and losing weight to what it is now, and how you like, and if you remember any of the conversations that we had or what conversations you had with yourself, can you just speak to that?
Absolutely. First of all, I was so frustrated throughout many parts of the program because I wasn't losing weight. Mm-hmm. And I heard everything that you said, Leanne, and it still made me mad.
Yep.
because I remember when we were talking once and you said, yeah, some people on my program, they're not even trying to lose weight and they lose weight. So I thought, excellent. I'm going to be one of those people.
Yep. Well,
and I wasn't one of those people. Mm-hmm. And I still held a belief in the back of my head, that this is why I was doing this program, because I wanted to lose weight. That right. is the work that I needed to do.
Right. Wow.
At the end of the program, I no longer had that belief, because the things that I gained from the program were about everything else except weight.
Yeah.
And it was about loving myself. It was about having gratitude for every breath that I take. It was about learning how to take better care of myself.
Yeah.
And how to appreciate all that I have. So yeah. I did not lose a pound when I was on the program.
Yeah.
But since I graduated, I have lost 30 pounds.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even know that. Holy shit. Really?
we never talked about weight, right? It's like that was always so secondary.
I knew you were losing weight, but you never said how much, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. All that matters is how you feel. But wow. That's amazing. And it happened afterwards. And so that is so interesting.
It is interesting. Wow. And someday I'm going to have to go back and really think about it and analyze why, because that's the kind of things that I like to do. But it's like there was a part of me that all was almost fighting something the whole time.
Yeah.
Because I was being my inner child came out, and it's like, mm-hmm. I just wanted to lose the damn weight.
Yeah.
And
when you release that, it was,
why am I doing all of these stupid things when it's not helping me lose the weight? And it was just that little, that little girl, Carrie, that came through, and she just didn't want to have to do the work. She just wanted to lose the weight, though my conscious self, knew different.
Yeah, for sure. It's so funny. I do remember it was one of our last calls where we were talking about weight loss. I don't remember the specifics of it, but you weren't like complaining or anything, but you were just aware, like you had mentioned that you hadn't lost any weight. And I remember I asked you, I go, do you have any stress or emotion around food anymore? And you go, no, not at all. Like you just said it like very like, no, like not even close, you know? And I was like, okay. And you had a big aha. Cause you hadn't ever like acknowledge it before, like, holy shit, the stress and emotion and the obsession that I had around food, it's like not, it's just not part of me anymore.
Yeah, but it's because I felt that way. I thought I should be losing weight and I just wasn't.
Right. Wow. Mazel tov. That's amazing.
It is. Wow. And that's when I finally was a believer in that all that inner work needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And the way that I talk to myself,
Yeah.
We are our own worst enemies sometimes. And the things that I used to say to myself, I wouldn't say to the, I don't say my worst enemy because that sounds awful, but you know, I wouldn't say that to anyone because yeah. it's so awful. So why was I talking to myself like that?
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I know that everybody that's listening needed to hear that because I promise you, ladies, if you, first of all, they're two separate things. Weight loss and removing, like just fixing this problem for good, like getting rid of the stress and the obsession and the control and the deprivation and the self-loathing and all that, they are two separate things. And it's almost impossible. I mean, maybe it's possible to do both, you know, but they're two different outcomes. Like, which do you want, weight loss or to get rid of all of that shit and that actual weight? They're two separate conversations. And I promise you, you can't have one permanent weight loss without doing the other stuff. I could tell you 1,000 different ways to get short-term weight loss. I used to do that for a career too. It's no fun. You know what I mean? And you'll gain it back. Or you won't, but you'll be handcuffed to a diet or restriction or meal plans or whatever, you know? So this is really about freedom. And once you create your freedom, the weight will come. It's just a given. You can't not, because who you have become no longer stresses, obsesses, and guesses. She no longer uses food as a comfort or a numbing mechanism or a weapon of control. And she's connected to her like higher self or her better self. It's about a game of self-love. It's not about punishment and self-loathing, you know? So thank you for sharing that. Cause I think a lot of people probably needed to hear that.
And I think it's by far one of the hardest lessons to learn.
Yeah, for sure. And you have to go through it. You can't intellectualize it. You've got to experience it.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So hang in there is what I would say, you know?
Totally. And just keep showing up. Keep doing the
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Just a couple more questions. So one is, how has this program changed your life?
It's just hard to use words to express what a different person I am now than before. I've always been a kind person, but for the first time in my life, I'm as kind to myself as I am as kind to others.
Wow. Whew. Yeah.
I've always been a grateful person, but I'm now as grateful for me and what I contribute to the world as I am for others' contributions.
Wow.
I'm more thoughtful and I live more in the present. And I always use intentions to guide what I do. And my values have really become the beacon that I use in guiding my life. And I'm so much more at peace. I'm not fighting myself anymore.
Wow.
I'm more accepting of myself and others. I'm just so much more likable. Maybe not towards the outside world might not see it.
Yeah, but you like you.
But I like me. And Yeah. And just, I think for me that the calmness that I have when I was so anxiety ridden and always felt the need to numb myself, whether it was, you know, watching movies or playing video games or eating or drinking.
Yeah.
I was just using all of that to escape the glorious life that I had there for me.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. What is no longer a part of your way of being or no longer a part of your life?
Guilt. I have let go of guilt. It just doesn't serve any purpose. I used to watch a ton of TV. I still DVR all my shows, but I think I'm like my capacity is like almost 100% full because I just don't watch that much TV.
Yeah.
I have found reading again. I used to be an avid reader, and I think since my dad died, I probably hadn't read any books, and now I'm just devouring reading.
Amazing. Yeah.
I'm full of more joy. I've let go of a lot of, letting go is huge. I've done a lot of rituals to let go of things. Jealousy. The jealousy has kind of gone away as I just have more gratitude for the things that I have and I can do.
Yeah.
So I don't have time to really think about others and what I'm jealous of.
Amazing. Thank you. Just a couple more. So one gal asked, what week's lessons did you find the most challenging and which were the most powerful? And I know it's been a while, so you can just kind of give us the context and I'll tell you what week that is or whatnot. But what was the most challenging and what was the most powerful for you?
Leanne, take me back to when we were talking about distinctions and how and the words that we use.
Right. Yeah. That was back in week one. And I shared with you the distinctionary. And we talked about the difference between like feast and fast. We talked about the difference between reacting and responding. We talked about the difference between data versus drama, wanting something versus needing something, the repair mentality versus the care mentality, that parasympathetic nervous system versus the sympathetic. I don't remember the others. The either or versus the both mentality. And then, old math versus new math.
Yeah, I remember when we were talking about the data versus drama, and it's like, oh my gosh, can we just all replay, any portion of our lives?
Would you say that was the biggest distinction for you, that data versus drama?
I think that was one of them, and also learning about the parasympathetic nervous system, that was huge too. Understanding that when I can get to that place of calm, the just added on benefits of that really, really resonated with me.
Right.
And then just how we choose our words, instead of saying, oh, I have to go to work tomorrow.
Right.
I'm grateful I have a job and I get to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And even, and I don't want any eye rolls on this one, because a year ago I would have been eye rolling, but I even like when I get to go to the gym to work out, where I got this fun, awesome bike for my birthday, when I get to go out and ride my bike, it's not about, I have to do that anymore. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I get to do this. This is a choice that I get to make, and this is what I want to do.
Absolutely. Huge distinction.
And I think that one of the hardest ones, and I have to admit, I'm still a work in progress that's looking at myself. It's like, I can say I've learned to love my soft belly and I have. Sometimes I really don't want to look at it still, Leanne.
Into the mirror. Totally get it.
And so I think I'm probably going to be working on that for the rest of my life, right?
Absolutely.
That's still a lesson that I'm learning.
I love it. Thank you for your honesty and vulnerability. Absolutely. And then this is the last question. When did it all click for you?
I'm going to say it was probably after I graduated from the program. And going back, because you're so gracious and you all the modules are still available to us. Going back and reviewing those special ones that really resonated.
Yeah.
And then I think also kind of like putting my own... you guys, when I first started this program, I thought no one spoke faster than Leanne Ellington. I was like, my brain doesn't listen fast enough for how quickly she talks. So like having that pressure off of the different weeks, and just going to go back and just, capture those things that really resonated and I really wanted to move forward with. And I think when I got to a place that I realized how much power we have, and I just thought about the changes that I had made in that brief 9 weeks, and it's like, what you know, how powerful I could be for the rest of my life if I keep making good choices.
Yeah.
And just understanding that the intent we have behind our choices, they can either take me closer to the person I want to be or the life I want to lead, or further away.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's like I had come so far. I know the direction that I want to go.
Yeah.
And I was also able, when I was done, to, you know, be able to sit down and think about some, because there's no emphasis on weight loss or weight goals in the program. And that's something I kind of wanted to revisit when I graduated.
Yeah.
And I have a big birthday coming up in a year and a half. And there's definitely a place that I want to be when I have that birthday.
Right, right.
So I was so excited to take all the tools that the program gave me and to map out a plan for me to do that.
Absolutely.
Because when I started the program, I never, ever wanted my weight to be the reason why I couldn't do something, mm-hmm. whether it was going on a zip line or fitting into an airplane seat mm-hmm. or being able to do the bumper boat ride on the water. It's like I may not always choose yes, but it's never going to be my weight that the reason is that I can't say yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just to stack on what you just said, like basically if I were to read through the lines, it would be you are just constantly pursuing mastery. Like the conversation didn't end at week 9, like it just began. And this is who you get to go be, and now you have the tools and the breadcrumbs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not a coincidence that you've gone on to lose 30 pounds. Like it's a testament to you just pursued mastery and it's about repetition. You know what I mean? Like
absolutely.
When you're learning a new language, like you can't just be like, oh cool, I studied Spanish for 9 weeks and I hope I'm fluent the rest of my life. No, you've got to keep practicing. And the repetition doesn't have to be so intense. That's why I specifically set it up to be very intense in the beginning, because we got to get those reps in, but you've got to commit to the process. And I'll just also say something to just kind of brag on you for a minute is Carrie's an example of like, this program works if you work it. These systems and tools work if you work them. And she showed up coachable. She showed up. She like devoured everything. When she had a problem, she reached out to me and through the help desk or brought it up on the calls. When she had like one of her inner rebels chiming in being like, Leanne, I gotta be honest, this is what's going through my head. She shared it vulnerably so that we could get to the bottom of what beliefs were causing her to think that way. She kept showing up. She didn't just say like, and trust me, she had moments where she wanted to throw in the towel and where she was, you know, flustered at the weight not coming off and all of those things that you're currently experiencing. She just kept coming back and recommitting, redrawing the line in the sand. She persisted through, I mean, the inner compass stuff and the self-image ingredient stuff, just like for most of my clients, it takes a few weeks to actually really feel solid in your answers, or maybe you have to go through it a couple times. She didn't back down. She didn't give up. She acted as if she was committed. She didn't just act as if she was interested. And so I just wanted to, you know, brag on you and stack on that and just let it be a testament to this will work for you if you work it, but you've got to make it work for you. There is no cookie cutter. I can give you the systems and the philosophies and the thought processes, but you've got to Carrie-ize it or Leanne-ize it or you-ize it, or else it's going to just go in the category as another plan or program that didn't work.
And as a person who's been through many plans and many programs, you're absolutely right. Just you have to find those nuggets that work for you. And I just want to share one of the ones that I still do to this day is the weekly experiments.
Yes.
And it varies. And I have fun with it.
Yeah.
I make them doable and I make them so I can be successful at the end of the week. For me, that works. It's like a game.
Absolutely. And your experiments will always change. You've got to keep what works, leave the rest. I'm still going on new experiments. Sometimes they last 5 days, 10 days, 30 days, a year, but just knowing it, when you're experimenting, you're just looking to create an outcome. There's no good, bad, right, or wrong. You're just getting new data. It's a different mentality, right?
Absolutely.
gosh, so many golden nuggets in here. If you were to just, you know, anybody who's listening to this, they're going through the same experiences that you went through, what are some words of wisdom or advice that you would give to anybody that's currently going through the Stressless Eating Program?
I think some of the things that helped me is you can always draw a new line in the sand.
Yes.
There's no such thing as failure. Mm. We can always choose to get up, to walk out that door, and to draw a new line in the sand and to recommit yourself. Mm. I also think we're all so much stronger than we know. Mm. It seems tough and it's hard sometimes, but the reward is worth it, and you are so worth it. Mm. And I think also just knowing that, I know I was, I think during my interview with Leanne, I always said, oh, I just want the book. Can you just give me the book? Can you just give me the book with the answers so I can be who I want to be? And what I learned through this whole process is that we all have everything we need within ourselves. We just have to find the strength and the courage to find it and to draw it out. And to commit to ourselves because we're so worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, beautifully said. Thank you so, so much. Like this is, I mean, I'm just soaking up all the goodness. This has been a really powerful experience for me. I know how much it's going to really benefit anyone who's listening. Any last things that you want to say, Carrie, before we sign off?
Just thanks so much. And to folks who are listening to this, thank you so much for letting me be a part of your journey. It's kind of scary, you know, being so out there and vulnerable. And I think another thing that I learned through this program is I found my voice. A year ago, I could not have possibly talked to you about any of this because it was far too, I don't know, embarrassing, or I'm not sure what the word is, but this is an exciting time to find your voice.
Mm. Wow. And,
choose yourself, guys. Just be kind to yourselves.
Mm. I love it. I love it. Thank you so, so much. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for finding your voice and using your voice and sharing this, because I know it's not easy. This is some stuff that's like really close to home. But it's so much easier to step into the truth than to hide from it and avoid it. And so thank you for helping liberate others to find their voice and find their truth. So thank you for this. And hope you all got an amazing value out of listening to Carrie's story.
I do too. Thanks so much, Leanne. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.